Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Purdue Podcast Live. Our second live we've ever done. Aaron's first.
Yeah.
Man, we're excited to be here today. Aaron shared a really hilarious offering message, and I don't know if you're going to get into that yesterday, but
maybe a little bit.
Okay, but anyway, before we do that, the reason why we wanted to start doing these live streams is because we want to cultivate a sense of community with all of our online family. We are vastly aware that we have online family all over the world. Mm-hmm. Italy. And then we also have some, we have all over the world, but Italy is the ones that I'm thinking of right off the top of my head because they actually came to church here for a little while.
Manchester, England.
Yeah, Manchester, England. Yep. And then locally, but they can't get here in person. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Michelle's mom.
Yeah. Massachusetts.
Yeah, Massachusetts. Anyway, we've got people everywhere, and we just want to connect with you guys because we love you.
Yeah, and we actually have a screen here where we can see your comments from Facebook and YouTube. So if you have any questions or just want to say hi, you're welcome to jump in and type there, and we'll try to interact with you. A lot of people send me messages on Facebook and Instagram, and I'm kind of bad about checking that.
I don't get those notifications.
Sometimes it takes me a few days to get back to people. Sometimes I don't get back to people.
I know.
But we'll try to. Yeah, this is a great way to interact live with people that we connect with.
That we connect with. But even if you're watching the playback after the fact, you can still comment. We go back and check those, and our team goes back and checks them and gets word to us if we need to respond to anybody. So. Mm-hmm. We're just really thankful for all the people that want to sow into this ministry to help us share the gospel around the world. Mm-hmm. You're really affecting the world. Mm-hmm. And we just recently had a youth outreach.
Yeah.
We had a youth worship night, and that was so much fun. And we had like
80 students.
Yeah, we thought initially 75, but our team told us that a couple of them didn't get checked in, and then there were, sometimes they slip through the cracks because they come in late. But so we think about 80 kids, and then we had 6 that got born again too, that got filled with the Holy Spirit, and many, many that got ministered to. And so we just want to say thank you for sowing into this ground.
Amen.
Because it's good ground. And I just want to apologize too. Last week I told you, put your comments in the chat and I'll go through them as we go, but I couldn't. The studio was set up in such a way that I couldn't listen to Pastor Lawson and look at the comments at the same time without making him feel like I wasn't listening to him. And it's important what he has to say. So, but anyway, we've rearranged things. We're super excited, and we're going to dive right in.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, so during offering, just thinking about what's happening in Iran. And I've seen some comparisons between our current president and past presidents and other people who've run for president on what to do with the issue of Iran. This massive country, great people.
Yeah.
A lot of people are becoming Christian there, but they just have this horrific leadership. They're not even Persian. They're not even Iranian. They kind of came in and took over and have been slaughtering tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people protesting, just wanting basic freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And, the past, few people, in interviews, they've asked these, like Obama and Kamala Harris and Biden, what are you going to do about Iran? And what are you going to say to Iran? And they just say, don't.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Obama, I think, gave Iran like $1.7 billion. And it just goes to fund terrorism and they're trying to get nuclear weapons to attack Israel, attack the U.S., the people that do support that horrific regime just chant death to America. And actually this Wednesday night, I know we have a lot of people who come to church here who also live stream a lot. Wednesday night, we have a gentleman who we're connected to and support his ministry. Mohammed Faridi is going to be preaching Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. And
it's
going to be a powerful service. And he actually grew up in Iran. He was a Muslim, and as a young man was actually trained to be a suicide bomber. Like they'd have him condition him psychologically to go blow people up, like had him lay in graves and imagine his, glorious death and
his
harem of women. And he later got saved and moved to the U.S. and just really understands the mindset and what people are dealing with, but also has connections there in Iran. And he's super, super excited. He says we need to get like a million Bibles. There's such a huge demand. All these underground churches, they need more and more Bibles. All the mosques have been shutting down because people realize just what a terrible religion Islam is.
Yeah.
And actually years ago, we partnered with a ministry led by Terry Law. He's passed away, and his son, Jason Law, oversees the ministry now. But they go into 7 of the 10 most hostile nations to Christianity. And we actually partnered with them to smuggle Bibles into Iran. And the way we did it was Terry Law realized that there were drugs being smuggled into Iran. Drugs coming from Iran into Iraq.
Mm.
And the drug smugglers would come over the mountains with donkeys, like carrying packs of drugs.
You know,
opium, cocaine. Yeah. But they would go back over the mountains empty from Iraq into Iran. And, you know, they realized they could get Bibles into Iraq.
with the drug smugglers.
Yeah, the empty donkey packs, they talked to the drug smugglers and they agreed to be paid to smuggle Bibles into Iran. So we actually have helped smuggle Bibles into Iran for a number of years. But Mohammed Faridi wants to get a million Bibles going into Iran, and we're going to help him do that. And so he'll be speaking Wednesday, 7 p.m. here at our church. So be sure to tune into that.
Yeah. I want to add to this, too. I just actually was listening to him earlier today. Mm-hmm. And he said something that I really liked. He said a lot of people are worried about, well, are these people, are they Iranian people, are they going to take back their government? Or is it going to be just like the never-ending, you know, war? Are they going to actually establish a government? And he said, absolutely. He said, because the majority of the people there are not Muslim anymore. Mm-hmm. And the Persian prince, he's still there.
I think he's been in exile.
He's been in exile? He just came back.
Okay.
Yeah, he just came back. And anyway, I just thought that was really interesting because a lot of people are like, well, this is just going to be like all the other times. And, you know, we're setting up a government's not easy and blah, blah, blah. But these people are so excited to actually have freedom, and they're ready. I mean, they're in the streets. They're rejoicing, you know.
Yeah. And it's
I'm looking forward to the things
really
to come.
Exciting.
I think it's going to be amazing.
It's a massive country.
Yeah.
It's very large and just has a very
rich culture,
and that culture has been smothered, and even, you know, women have just been smothered in Iran for the past 47 years. You know,
it used to be a beautiful place too.
Yeah,
it used to be. Anyway, I just wanted to add that, and I was like off topic, but
yeah, and awesome. You know, I was just thinking about, you know, Trump, like him or not, and I don't necessarily like every
thing that he
political
or
thing
does.
Or whatever's going on, you know, like the tariff stuff actually kind of screwed up my business slightly.
Yeah.
You know, and people that are importing are the ones that pay for the tariffs.
Yeah.
So like I don't, and I'm more of a free market kind of person. But you look at the big picture of what he's done, you know, and what bothers me is that these pastors kind of criticize him over small things that don't really matter, and they have no clue what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They're criticizing, you know, his White House, and they aren't even taking care of their own house. They you know, and everyone, you know, I see him make these posts just criticizing something that's kind of minute, and everyone, all their sheep hop on and just say how racist and horrible this president is. You know, like real pastors actually know what's important, can look at the big picture. You know, Trump got in, you know, Supreme Court justices that can actually read the law, that actually know what a man is, what a woman is. They turned down Roe v. Wade, which is, you know, it needs to be shut down at the state level too. But and he's done a lot of great things for our nation. And he's done a lot of great things actually for the kingdom, whether he realizes it or not. He's actually many U.S. presidents, I think 4 presidents leading up to Trump, actually promised during their campaigns that they would move the U.S. embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. So Israel considers Jerusalem to be their capital. And several years ago during Trump's first presidency, I think there were around 80 nations that had embassies in Israel, but only 3 had the guts to put their embassy in Jerusalem. And they were like kind of minor nations. I think like Guatemala was one. But Trump actually moved, you know, the U.S. embassy into Jerusalem. So an embassy means like you own that soil. So there is American soil in Jerusalem, which is very important, you know, politically, but also spiritually, that there is American soil. In God we trust. Mm-hmm. We own soil in Jerusalem. And George H.W. Bush promised to move it. Clinton promised to move it. George W. promised to move it. Obama promised to move it. And none of them actually did it because none of them are actually real leaders. They're all just a bunch of wimps.
Yeah.
And I was very fired up during offering. I said, they're actually a bunch of eunuchs. And I just said, there's a lot of pastors actually out there that are just a bunch of eunuchs. They don't know how to take a stand. They don't have any guts. They don't have any courage. They don't have any boldness. So we're going to talk about the need, just the real need for real leadership, bold leadership, mm-hmm. just in society, in church, especially in the political arena, in the home. You know, that's really lacking too. People don't know how to be parents. They just are worried about what their
I know I was actually thinking about
think
that
and just let the kids just drive everything. And you know, there needs to be bold leaders in the marketplace, in the entertainment industry, in education. All facets of society need bold leadership. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I picked that word eunuch because I didn't want to offend anyone at church. And it's kind of funny because our 12-year-old son was there and he didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
And he had another little 12-year-old friend sitting next to him on the front row who, what did he thought it meant?
Crazy person.
A crazy person.
He said, Fisher, a eunuch is a crazy person.
He's saying that there's a bunch of pastors that are just crazy people. And you know, my mom, Pastor Barbara, is also on the front row and she is very much a G-rated, you know, minister, woman of God, which I appreciate, but I try to pick a biblical term. But in the Bible, it's kind of interesting. Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, it said if someone is a man like that, they're actually not allowed to go into the temple. Mm. And if leaders don't have guts, don't have courage, they're spiritual eunuchs, they're not going to take you into the presence of God.
Yeah.
They're not going to take you into freedom. They're not going to take you into breakthrough. They're not going to take you where God wants to take you. Mm-hmm. You know, the law, we don't abide by the law of Moses today, but there's a lot of spiritual principles that apply to today.
Yeah.
So some of these wimps aren't going to actually do much.
Yeah. Well, I was reading the Bible this morning and I was reading about it's the violent that have to take it by force. Mm-hmm. The violent take it by force.
That's how the kingdom advances.
Exactly. It takes guts. It takes boldness.
Yeah, and we're in a time of kingdom advancement.
And just simply believing what the word of God says and living that way mm-hmm. takes boldness.
Yeah.
Because now I remember used to, like years ago when I was doing hair, it was like, you don't want to offend anybody. You want to be quiet, you know. And now it's like, It's escalated to people don't just want you to be quiet. They want to get you. You know what I'm saying? Like in certain parts of the world, they'll just kill you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like it's like that here. Like people are ready to get violent mm-hmm. at you. Mm-hmm. And so it's even more, the need to be bold is even more so now than even mm-hmm.
and you
years
really
ago.
See it. There's these different periodic tests that you just see where people are at, where leaders are at, where pastors are at. I even saw the Pope, and I love a lot of Catholic people. I have some very close Catholic friends. Here we go. Got to talk right into the mic. But, you know, he was just saying, I'm so concerned about what's happening in Iran, and, you know, violence is never the answer.
No, I mean, nobody likes violence. But, you know, where were these guys when these men were blinding women, mm-hmm. blinding them? Mm-hmm. And Mohammed Faridi, he even said more people had been blinded. If you were not Muslim or if you weren't really for the Muslim, like the extreme Muslim government, if you got hurt and they took you to the hospital, he said they would find you in the hospital and they would kill you mm. right there. Like, you're already struggling to stay alive, and they would come and they would kill you.
Yeah.
Hello? You can't be complacent. You can't be idle when it comes to the enemy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. Nobody likes violence, but the devil will try to kill you mm-hmm. any way he can. Mm-hmm. So you're just going to be passive?
Well, and this is what the Bible says. It says in Proverbs 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no one pursues.
Yeah.
But the righteous are bold as a lion.
Mm-hmm.
And, it is actually wicked to just run away and hide and also just have a very blinded assessment of the big picture of what's happening in the world in different nations. And it's really true. It is wickedness to flee when no one pursues. There are some leaders, some pastors that are so afraid of offending people.
Mm-hmm.
They just run away from every hot topic. I'm not ever going to talk about abortion. I'm not ever going to talk about transgender ideology. I'm never going to talk about politics. I'm never going to talk about, the truth of God's word. I'm never going to talk about heaven and hell. I'm never going to talk about eternity. I'm just going to flee from every single issue, every single thing. And a lot of these things really, really matter. And there's going to be times where there will be opposition. If you're fleeing when there's no one pursuing, what are you going to do when there actually is a fight?
You're not going to do anything. You're just going to fall over and die.
And we are actually living in the end times. Jesus is coming again very, very soon. And in Revelation, there are two end times churches.
Yeah.
There's the Church of Philadelphia, which is the faithful church, which is an open door church, a missionary church. In Philadelphia, they spread the gospel to all the nations, and there is the lukewarm church.
Mm-hmm.
And you see today, like church, every time there's a shaking, there's a test, there's something major going on, you see where pastors and churches and believers gravitate towards.
Yeah.
It's like a magnetic pull. People either gravitate towards being more bold, more faithful, more full of truth, or more lukewarm, more passive, more watered down. And there's only one way to go.
Yeah.
And we need to be bold as lions. And I actually read this passage of scripture in our staff meeting this morning. Every Monday morning, Pastor Lawson meets with the four people directly under him here at the ministry. I oversee most of the ministry things. I oversee our children's pastor. We do the youth ministry. Mm-hmm. I oversee our worship leaders. So I kind of oversee the ministry side of things. We have a lady that oversees the office side of things. A man about my age, he oversees all the tech side of things here at the church. So we meet with him every Monday. But I read from Jeremiah 23 about what pastors should really be like, what true shepherds should really be like, and what should be happening. Chrissy says hello.
Hey, Chrissy.
Chrissy's my dad's assistant. She thanks for saying hello. I want to tell people when we do lives, this is the time to interact. We have a lot of people that are connected with us all around the world, and we have a heart to really minister to people, to connect with people.
Yeah.
And but you have to reach out. You have to say hi. You have to ask your questions. You have to say what you want prayer for.
Yeah.
I'm not going to magically know. a guy at the church, he's actually over our men's ministry. He told me someone came to him and just some men are having problems and they're just sad and don't know, and they just don't feel ministered to. But he's like, they've never reached out to me. Have they ever reached out to you? I said, no.
Yeah.
And he brought up one guy who like doesn't even come to church. And I'm like, he only shows up once a year. Like, how am I supposed to help
pastor,
him out?
Pastor, you can't pastor. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you, this is the time to say hi, to interact, to say what's up, to, let me know what's going on. To interact, and we have a lot of people that I really care about and want to interact with, but that's why we're doing this.
Speaking of interacting, your notes aren't working on my iPad, so.
Okay.
I just want to let you know.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll lead the charge here. So Jeremiah 23.
It's
going to
be all right.
Jeremiah
23. I do have a Bible. So
my dad
good.
Loved this. Pull up Jeremiah 23.
I got you. Oh, probably not passionate.
I emailed it to you as well.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Check your email.
It says that you quit sharing it with me.
I emailed it to you.
Okay.
I emailed it to Kevin here. Kevin, did you get the notes? He did, so it's not my fault.
I'm not saying that.
I didn't send a blank attachment.
I was not saying it is your fault. Okay, I got it. I'm sure I got it.
I'm very nice to Pastor Heather. I
don't start.
She had a busy morning, and I ran home for lunch, and I had to swing by and mail something off overnight at UPS and went into King Supers next door. And Heather told me
my daughter was
before lunch,
me through
don't
it
even
this
ask
morning.
Me to make you lunch. And so So I picked up some fried chicken and two sides for $5 at King Soopers. It's a good deal.
It's a
good
deal.
And they have great fried chicken. My youngest brother, Peter, actually just got promoted, and he's now the president of Popeye's Chicken. So,
but we don't have a Popeye's real close to us. So
no, I need to go try it out. I've actually never had Popeye's chicken.
You haven't?
I haven't ever had Popeye's chicken.
Yes, you have.
I don't think so.
We went to Popeye's. Over. Yeah, we've been there.
Okay.
Hi, Desi.
Well, I guess I didn't. Well, I don't know. Maybe
you don't remember. The service was terrible. But anyway, Peter's gonna fix that. No
but anyways,
problem.
I picked
okay.
Up,
well, have your notes.
And I got you some sushi there.
You
for
did.
$6 at the grocery store, and it's actually pretty good.
I
for
wasn't
grocery
complaining.
Store sushi grocery and flowers.
And flowers. That was
even
really
though
nice.
Right before you told me, don't even ask me.
Well, your
for
daughter
any
was putting me through it this morning.
She does that sometimes.
I know.
So.
Okay.
Hi, Desi. I'm glad Desi's interacting with us here. That's awesome.
Praise the Lord.
Jeremiah 23. This is just a powerful chapter. The first six verses here are super, super awesome. And to everyone out there, do a little study on this. It's really cool. But it's a great passage of scripture about what godly leadership is, especially in the kingdom, especially in the church. So here the Lord says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." And I was saying there's a lot of people today on social media, all they do is just tear down.
Mm.
They're just in destroyer mode. And some of them
it's
just
really
kind of cloak it as, well, I'm just here to bring restoration. But really, they're just
how
in
is that bringing
destroyer mode. And I have a word too, gossip. Gossip is worse than cussing. It's worse than saying the F word.
So if you're cussing, why you gossip, man?
And I have this to say. You know, there is a pastor in Florida who sinned.
Yeah.
He had an affair. And I know for a fact that he actually told the entire congregation. He sent a letter to every single person who ever gave their ministry a dollar and, you know, said what happened was transparent. So to me, that's enough transparency for such a thing. So for other people, other shepherds who are, you know, on the watchtower to go and just talk about this stuff nonstop.
Yeah.
That's actually gossip.
It is gossip.
And the Lord hates it. So if you're just, you know, woe to the shepherds who destroy, scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people. You know, what are you actually feeding people? Mm-hmm. Are you just feeding them gossip? You're feeding them trash. You're feeding them maggots. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Have you even cared for anyone? Have you actually done anything for anybody? Probably not. Haven't attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings. You know, everyone's going to stand before God.
Yeah.
You know, a little junior high boy asked me the other night at youth, just a question after service, you know, what happens when you die? I said, in Hebrews, it says it's appointed for every man to die and then the judgment. Everyone will stand one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know, not in front of a camera, not with followers, not with a mob of people, not with all your likes. And everyone is going to stand one-on-one in front of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited about that day because that will be the first day in my life where no one is judging me except one person. Jesus, the one person that matters.
Praise God.
Someone said straight to jail. I agree. You know. I think a lot of these quote unquote, you know, watchtower people that they're not, they're just gossiping. They're just slandering. Like they really should just be in jail.
Yeah.
And they're not doing a service to Jesus. And someday Jesus will tell them face to face, you know, I don't know if they're going to hear well done, good and faithful servant. You know, thanks for all the gossip.
They're just going to hear
all the,
well.
So, the Lord here says, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings. I know that I'm going to stand in front of God for, you know, my job as a pastor, as a shepherd. You know, did I do a good job?
I know. Ultimately, that's all that matters.
And thankfully, you know, the Lord here says how to be a good shepherd. So we're going to talk about this. He says, Jeremiah 23, verse 3, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. So a couple things about Bible prophecy. It's usually multi-layered. And there's multi layers to this. So one layer is that God is saying he's going to bring, you know, first of all, the remnants of Israel back. So this is really, really powerful. This was 2,500 years ago when this was spoken by the Lord. And we've seen this come to pass just in the last century.
Yeah.
You know, God brought back the remnants of his people, the remnants of Israel, back to the promised land, back to the land of Israel. 1948, against all odds, Israel became a nation. So incredibly powerful. I went to Israel about 8 or 9 years ago, and it's incredible, you know, to look at it from a biblical perspective, but also a modern day political, geographical, just even linguistic, even all these people scattered for 2,000 years come back and still speak Hebrew, still speak the language of the Old Testament. Wow. You know, if you look at, if you study modern languages like English has morphed so much in the past, you know, 400, 500. You know, I remember in high school, I had to read Beowulf, it's not even the same language.
Okay, but aside from that, look at the different language from millennials to Gen Z to Gen Alpha. Mm-hmm. How it morphs so quickly.
Yeah, we don't even know what our kids saying sometimes, 12-year-olds. So to be scattered for 2,000 years.
And this is
a cool thing, actually. When I was there, we had a fantastic tour guide by the name of Danny. He grew up in New York. He was a New York, I think, Brooklyn Jew, and you know, emigrated to Israel. Awesome. Hey, the Millers from Pennsylvania are watching. Awesome. I love the Millers. I'm glad they're watching.
Me too.
They're actually a family that I care a lot about.
They're actually one of the families that propelled us to do
this. We want to connect people who are in remote situations. And I'm not always the best about replying to people right away, just because I have so much going on with work and family. I try to reply to people and pray for people, but this is a really cool way for everyone to interact and come together.
I agree.
In remote areas of the world. But yeah, hello to the Millers. I really love Sam. I was talking to him and praying for him to get a job, and he got a job recently.
Amen.
So,
that's awesome.
So I'm really happy that he got a job, and we hope that someday the Lord makes it possible for them to move out here to Colorado.
Yes, in Jesus' name, we believe with you.
So anyways, our tour guide, Danny, he's an Ashkenazi Jew. So the Ashkenazi Jews were the Jews that were scattered mostly to, like, Europe.
Okay.
And there were also Sephardic Jews. So the Sephardic Jews are Jews that went to, like, Egypt and Ethiopia. And so they're separated. Mm-hmm. And even their skin colors are different, you know, different culture, different traditions. But his... one of his children married a Sephardic Jew. You know, like who?
One of Danny's children.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they realized when they came together to celebrate, I think it was Passover, mm-hmm. and they started singing their Passover songs, mm-hmm. and they realized that they had the exact same song that they sang, the same melody, the same words. So that's really incredible.
Yeah.
You know, now we have YouTube and, you know, technology, but, you know, 2,000 years ago, to leave and to be able to come back 2,000 mm-hmm. years later and sing the exact same tune, it's a miracle. So for the language and that culture and that hope in Messiah mm-hmm. to endure, despite being scattered, it's a miracle. The Bible is a miracle.
Yeah.
Israel is a miracle. And it's really, really powerful. So verse 3, Jeremiah 23, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I've driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. So one layer of that prophecy is talking about the children of Israel, but another layer is about just God's desire to unite. You see that in the church as well. God has a desire to, you know, unite his people. Mm-hmm. Paul, like a lot of the New Testament is about uniting, and you know, those two women that are fighting and bickering,
yeah,
like we need to be in unity. And but really, God's heart is for people to be fruitful and to increase. And that's actually the very first thing spoken, the very first blessing over Adam and Eve, to be fruitful and to multiply. It's also the same blessing that was spoken to Abraham, the gospel that was spoken to Abraham, that that you're going to be fruitful, you're going to increase, your you're going to have just this, you know, descendants like the stars. So, so really, it's important for pastors. I'm talking about bold leadership. Pastors need to help people become fruitful and to increase.
Yes,
that's something that I'm thinking about constantly, about the people that I really oversee in the worship ministry, in the youth ministry. I want to see fruitfulness. I want to see increase. So if you're like looking for a good church or a good ministry to connect with, be supportive of, really look at the long-term fruit.
Yeah.
Fruit really, really does matter.
Well, and also what do they teach?
And that's the next thing that.
Well, I just want to say that like God wants his people to be fruitful and increase. And you're not going to be fruitful and increase when you go to a church where they just teach you that.
Where you have a eunuch pastor.
Where they're afraid to teach about provision.
They don't even preach the Bible hardly.
Yeah, where they're afraid to teach about provision. And, you know, it is God's will for you to be fruitful and multiply.
Or they have some watered down woke slant on everything that they say.
Yeah. Are you about to talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I don't want to get ahead verse of you, 4.
Because you're doing a good job, so.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
Verse 4, Jeremiah 23, verse 4, I will set up shepherds. So these are the shepherds that are called by God,
okay,
appointed by God, and just walking in godly leadership, which is bold. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them. The word. The word is leaven, good doctrine, good teaching. The word is the number one thing you should look for in a church, and every single believer really should be connected to a church and a pastor.
Yeah.
The word that you will be fed. You need to be fed the word. Secondly, they shall fear no more. What's the opposite of fear?
Faith.
Faith. Mm-hmm. It needs to be a faith church. I remember when I was getting my doctorate, I connected with a young man who was a campus minister at Rice University, and he wanted to have lunch, talk to me some. I knew I was a very bold, outspoken Christian, and he actually oversaw like a really big Christian ministry at Rice University. I think several hundred students were involved with it. But he just asked, I met him for coffee, and I got there a little ahead of time to do some homework and just some personal reading. I had a book on faith. It was a devotional by Kenneth Hagin. And when he saw it, it triggered him.
Oh, really?
That even like that I had this book about faith. And I thought like how
even the minister,
stupid,
just the word faith.
And it like triggered him, and he's known so many people who've been hurt by, you know, faith teaching.
Oh my gosh. Let's not go there.
Yeah. Eunuch.
We're liable to get on the soapbox.
They shall fear no more. So you're going to preach faith. Nor be dismayed. It should be encouraging. Actually, one of the first things my dad told me when I've actually been pastoring 10 years exactly as of yesterday. March 1st was when I first started.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And he told me people should always be encouraged when they come to church. And I had the benefit of, you know, being in Houston for 6.5 years. I went to Rice University for my master's, my doctorate in music, and I went to Lakewood Church with Pastor Joel Osteen, and he has just a supernatural, deep spiritual gift of encouragement. And it's really important for people to be encouraged.
It's really important for you to encourage people but not compromise the Word of God.
Exactly.
Because I love Joel Osteen, but he dabbles on the
fence
of like,
periods.
Oh, God's doing it to you to teach you something.
Yeah, when I was there, that wasn't so strong of a thing. I don't think
you could have tolerated it if it were.
I probably couldn't.
But that's part of being a bold pastor, is speaking the truth in love.
The truth, though. Yeah. And we're going to get into more of that. I can tell you haven't looked at the notes. Because you keep getting ahead.
Well, that's all right.
It's all right.
So everyone can talk and talk to Pastor Aaron but me.
You can talk to me.
Okay.
So
you can leave your comments.
He's going to set up shepherds over them who will feed them. They'll fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking.
Amen.
Man, God wants his people to operate in abundance.
Yes.
You know, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, physically, financially, they shall not be lacking.
Amen.
Man, this is kind of against a lot of the woke lukewarmness of the church today, I feel.
Yeah. Do you think it's like, do you think it's lukewarm, or do you think it's like a doctrine of the devil?
Well, so
what do you think the doctrine of the devil is? No, like for real. I really want to know. Like basically preaching against
a doctrine of compromise.
Yeah.
You know, moral compromise.
Yeah.
Compromising the word.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And we kind of talked about this on other podcasts,
like,
just how the enemy does kind of slip in.
Yeah.
And so doctrine, and this is an important thing to think about too, and I've actually explained this to some of our older youth,
mm-hmm.
who, like, doctrine is really important. So if you, like, go to our church website, and I told them when I was 18 and moved to Pittsburgh and looked for churches, I first went to the church website and looked at their doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Every church should put their doctrine just out there right up front.
They usually do, too.
So yeah, you there's can go major, and, major like, doctrine that unites every Christian, and that's that Jesus is God, Jesus is Lord, the deity of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the need of salvation, the fall of mankind,
yeah.
like the need for every single person to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's major church doctrine. Eternal judgment is major church doctrine, that you're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. That is major church doctrine.
Yeah. No, it is.
There are people that are pretty mainstream people that are trying to get off from that.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cameron being one, trying to kind of
explain away because hell makes them uncomfortable. But guess what? It makes everybody uncomfortable.
Yeah. And so eternal judgment, the second coming of Christ. So that there's these things that are major, major church doctrine. And there's other things that that churches like ours should consider to be part of their doctrine, you know, water baptism. And there may be some random denominations that don't believe in water baptism. I think my dad said he as a kid, he went to the Friends Church and they didn't believe in water baptism.
That's right.
And he later got water baptized at a different church, I think. But water baptism is important. You know, you don't have to be water baptized to be saved. You have to be baptized into the body of Christ.
Yeah.
By the Holy Spirit, who works on your heart, and you accept that ministry of the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
that witness of the Holy Spirit. You don't reject it. You don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you are baptized into the body of Christ. So the penitent thief on the cross who said, you know, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, he wasn't able to be water baptized, but Jesus said, assuredly, today you will be with me,
mm-hmm.
in paradise. So, but like we consider divine healing to be doctrinal.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone to not believe in divine healing, I'd say you're still a Christian, but it's such an essential part of really, like, we consider it doctrine because it's, you see it throughout Scripture.
Yeah.
And it's very prominent.
Mm-hmm.
Something like pre-trib or post-trib isn't doctrinal. Because it's not like it's not foundational.
Yeah.
To faith in Jesus.
Yeah, to salvation.
To the Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, and the majority of evangelical charismatic Christians would be pre-trib, but there are maybe 10% that are post-trib.
Yeah.
But it's not a doctrinal thing. The doctrinal, the big picture thing, the foundational thing is that Jesus is coming again.
Yeah.
So we believe that divine healing is doctrinal. We also believe the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit still ministers today, is doctrinal.
Mm-hmm.
So doctrine is important. So a doctrine of demons would be something that goes against the doctrine of Christ.
Yeah.
That Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin.
Like, Jesus is not the only way to heaven. That would be a doctrine of demons.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, things that go against actual doctrine, I would say. You know, it's an enemy to the doctrine, to the apostles' doctrine. you know, in Acts 2, I believe it's 42, it says what the early church did. They continued daily in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayer, and in the apostles' doctrine, mm-hmm. which was the doctrine of Jesus.
Yeah.
So that is that Jesus is Lord, that you need to believe on him to receive eternal life. Yeah, and things that go against that would be doctrines of
yes.
of demons.
Well, thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, and that was a deep question. so true pastors are solid in their doctrine for sure.
Yeah.
Verse 5, this is great. This is where things kind of shift here. So Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and verse 6 is actually a very, very important passage of Scripture. I consider it to be one of the most important passages theologically in the Old Testament. And I'll tell you why. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, and he'll execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name, by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteous king, Tsidkenu." So this is clearly talking about the Messiah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to raise a king to David. This is in the house of David. So even Jewish believers today would consider this to be a messianic, Jewish people today would consider this to be a messianic prophecy. Mm-hmm. The number one issue that Orthodox Jews have against Christianity is that we believe in the deity of Jesus. They actually don't have an issue with us believing that Jesus is Messiah. Their issue is that we believe that Jesus is Lord, that he is eternal, that he is fully God. But here in the Old Testament, This is what it says. This is clearly a messianic prophecy. And it says his name will be, and this is one of those redemptive names of God.
Yeah.
His name will be Lord, and in the Hebrew, it's all caps. It's Yud Hey Vav Hey Hashem, the name which modern Jews are too afraid to say, so they just say Hashem, which means the name when they see it in Scripture. But it's Jehovah or Yahweh. Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. So Jesus is the greatest example of a real leader, of a true shepherd, mm-hmm. and shows us, why we need to be bold. In as leaders, bold leaders in your family, bold leaders in society, bold leaders in the workplace, bold leaders, and we're going to talk about some of the trademarks of what it means to be a godly leader.
Yeah.
A godly mother, father, a godly servant in the local church, a godly, business owner. So the first trademark, we'll go through these four trademarks, here, and you mentioned this one, truth. Number one is, I put truth and grace.
Yeah.
They're coupled together. Yeah. You're not just going around just bashing everyone who...
some people are.
Some people are. But there's truth and there's grace. And really, when you're speaking truth, it's out of a heart. It's out of a...
To raise them up.
To raise them up, to actually help people.
Yeah.
And actually, if you really care about someone, you're going to tell them the truth. You're not going to lie to them.
Yeah, well, just that is like...
Because you're bowing down to the idol of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bow down to the idol of feelings, it's not gonna do what God wants people to do. It's not going to bring fruitfulness and increase in people's life.
Yeah.
If you're just bowing down to people's feelings...
I was thinking about parenting this morning when I was on my walk. And it's funny that you wanted to talk about this today. Like we didn't know what we were going to talk about until, I don't know, earlier this morning. But on my walk, I was just thinking about parenting and like how God leads us. And it said the Bible says, "Whom He chastens, whom He loves, He chastens." Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that He puts sickness on us. That doesn't mean that He makes bad things happen to us. That just means that He corrects us because He loves us. And I don't know about you, but God doesn't really care about my feelings. Mm-hmm. He will correct me whenever I need to be corrected mm-hmm. by His word. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking how crazy our society has gotten. It's flipped. And I have noticed, like, now we've been doing youth for 2 years now, I've started noticing a pattern with children and their parents. And even I have fallen into this, mm-hmm. like caring more about how my child feels than correcting them mm-hmm. and about how dangerous that is. Mm-hmm. And thank God that he doesn't worry so much about, you know, hurt. Shame and guilt and condemnation, that's not for the believer. That's for the unbeliever. It's the Holy Spirit will convict people mm-hmm. that they need a Savior. And he'll pull them. He'll draw them to their self. So it's not bad for you to feel bad about some things sometimes. It's just, it's a, like you said, it's like a thermostat, like a.
Yeah, thermostat. Like it just gauges what's going on.
Yeah, it gauges that something's off to change. And I can't get over the fact that, like, some parents are scared. It like, breaks my heart for them. It's like they're scared that they're going to push their child away if they don't cater to their feelings and don't get on to them. So they just kind of like, they're keeping the peace or whatever because they, and it is biblical to have a peaceful home. I'm not saying that, but like, be bold as a parent.
You can't let fear direct your parenting.
And I know, like, I'm guilty of this too. I'm learning too, but I've seen, like, with Fisher especially, you know, because he's older, how important it is and how valuable it is to, like, teach him. And I'm not talking about, like, discipline him, beat him, you know, mm-hmm. do all that. But explain to him, you know, I don't want you to be led by your feelings. Mm-hmm. I don't want your life to be an up and down yo-yo. Mm-hmm. Jesus came, he said he was going to bring the mountains low and raise the valleys. He wants us to live in a place of mm-hmm. balance, mm-hmm. level-headedness. And it's just so sad to me that a whole generation is scared to get onto their kids mm-hmm. because the culture has exalted feelings so high. Mm-hmm. But I just want to empower you guys that you don't have to be in fear, because when you correct your kids and you explain to them why and you do it in a rational voice out of love, it helps them, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and also just help. Sometimes you need to help your kid see the big picture.
You do.
So, like Fisher, for instance, he just has one chore essentially.
Yeah,
he's a great
dog
kid,
and
he has one chore, and he's done it for years now. But it's his one chore, and it's just been like the thorn in his flesh.
I know
his whole
he
life.
Acts like it's gonna kill him or
and,
something.
I'm like, Fisher, this takes you 15 minutes to do. You know, basically once a month.
Yeah.
And it takes you 15 minutes to do this, and we just had this conversation the other day. I'm trying to help him see the big picture. And because he's kind of whiny about it or something. And I'm just like, I don't want to have to remind you of it every time. I don't want to hear you whine about it ever again.
Yeah.
And literally, like, you have the best job in the world. For 15 minutes, you pick up dog poop once a month. You are given a house that would be $4,000 in rent. You're given internet, utilities, hot water. You're given rides to school. You're given food. You're given... $10,000 worth of stuff.
I know. You literally told him this morning that he made more than...
I said you make more money per hour than Taylor Swift. You get $10,000 worth of stuff a month for doing a 15-minute chore that you whine about, that you complain about. Like, you're getting basically $40,000 an hour. I'm like, that's more than, like, Taylor Swift makes. I mean, she probably makes
more
than that, but like
anyway, but it's a good
basically
point.
Basically getting $40,000 an hour mm-hmm. pay to pick up dog poop. Like, you don't have to deal with people whining yeah. and complaining. Like, it is a super easy job. And
but that's how you helped him see the big picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be in every scenario.
Yeah.
Like, even when he is you know, really in his emotions about something, like he's very upset and sad or whatever, like, we'll talk through it and I'll give him the big picture.
Yeah.
You know, like, this really isn't that big of a deal. But see, the culture says, oh, it's a big deal. Because if you feel it, if it's that big of a feeling to you, it's big and it's a problem. And
well,
it's,
and culture, you know, like, it's such a tidal wave of people's thinking and thought and culture and It's such a title. Like, it's infected humanity.
Yeah. But my,
especially in the Western culture, so much that, like, if you think that you're a different gender than you are.
But so, not to get off the topic of what my point was to encourage you, because we really all are pushing against a huge culture of just feelings, and it's trying to push on us like hard and make us conform. And you don't have to conform. And what I was thinking of is God never gives up on us. If we have a heart to want to know him, really, he never quits trying to lead us. He never quits trying to correct us and help us in a loving way. And that's the way we should be with our kids. We shouldn't ever get to a point where we're like,
it's truth and grace. But truth is important.
It is very important.
If you're just saying all grace and I'm worried I might, you know, hurt someone's feelings, and it's a fear kind of driven thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're leaving out truth.
Yeah. You got
to
have
it's truth and grace. Four trademarks of godly leadership, truth and grace.
Okay, number
Cara
one.
Lawrence agrees with this. That's awesome. She says 100%. So four trademarks of godly leadership. We're talking about godly leadership, which is bold leadership. So number one, truth and grace.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm very thankful for the church that we go to. My boss, my pastor, Pastor Lawson, the, you know, 10 years I've been here on staff, but my entire life, I've seen him really flow strongly in truth and grace in his ministry towards people and his shepherding over people. He flows big time.
We're super blessed.
In both arenas, almost to a fault in both arenas. But it's better better to err on the side of grace and to err on the side of truth than to, you know. So second trademark of godly leadership, priorities are in order. You know, the main things are the main things. You know, the important things are at the top. You can see this with Jesus, too. You know, he went into the temple and was really ticked because the main thing was not the main thing. And he went in with a whip and flipped over tables, and
I've heard some people say that he actually connected with people. He actually whipped them.
Probably.
I'd like to study
that out.
It's
probably pretty ferocious. So, like, God has to be number one. The word has to be at the top of that priority. You know, even issues that are going on in society, you know, and so much of society's issues do hit Christianity and hit the Bible, like, they have to be talked about. So, like, abortion, you know, the issue of life is a priority.
Yeah.
You know, so for people to make a major issue out of something that's, like, very minute, but, like, miss out, like, not talk about life, talk about marriage, talk about, you know, eternity and how you get there, your priorities are out of whack.
Yeah.
And you're not being a bold, godly leader. So the priorities have to be in order. The main thing has to be the main thing. Hopefully that makes sense to people.
Yes.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah, and even for, like, a godly parent, you know, this is great parenting things too. Like the priorities have to be in place. You know, some people, like, they're not really good in the main areas, but they try to compensate by just buying their kids tons of junk or, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm never there. I don't ever spend time with my kid. I don't ever, but every Christmas, I'm just going to buy you $10,000 worth of junk that doesn't matter. Like, that gift giving is important as a parent, but there's other
balance.
Things. Yeah, so sometimes people try to compensate. And I think even sometimes, like, in the church, people do the same thing. Like, hey, I'm not really, you know, I shouldn't have shut down my church for 2 years during COVID, but I'm going to compensate with other things. You know, like, have, you know, movies at church for a month give you all popcorn. And, you know, it's just like the you can see the priority and, you know, having fun is important too.
Yeah.
At church. But, like, you can see when people's priority, like, they kind of screwed up on some things that they shouldn't have screwed up on.
Mm-hmm.
So priorities are in order. That's the second trademark, priorities. Third, and love people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing what I do because I care about people.
Yes, amen.
Number one. And you can't be afraid to say and teach what will really help. This is what I'm constantly thinking about too, even with youth. Youth, it's a very unique age group. And they're very concerned about what their friends might think and, you know, what they're wearing. And it's just kind of part of that age. But as a youth pastor, I'm always thinking about what's like the best thing I could teach them, what would really, really help them.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to teach them about what really helped me at that age. Mm-hmm. And it might not be a popular subject. It might, but I really want to help them be fruitful and increase and succeed in life and go in the right direction. So I'm not just, you know, we want to make it fun and warm and welcoming, inviting, but at the same time, like, I really do love them.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to shy away from things that's really going to help them.
Right.
And too many pastors Thank do God. That. They shy away from things that will really, really help them. Like, for instance, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Jesus actually told his disciples that it's better for me to go to heaven, to leave you. Mm-hmm. Me in the flesh, to leave you. That way I can send the Holy Spirit. It's better for you to have the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost. That baptism of fire, then for me to be with you. That is how important that is. Mm-hmm. So why as a pastor would you not want to teach about that, communicate that, lead people into that? Because you probably have some like fear of man issues, or you know, like maybe,
or you just don't understand it, maybe,
or don't understand it.
But or, like, why are you leading people if you don't understand?
Sometimes mammon could be the driving factor too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If I talk about this, will people leave? Will my big givers leave the church? You know, right. We've had people who are very big givers that have left the church because we've
talked about certain things.
Yeah. But is mammon, you know, driving those things?
Yeah.
So third trademark of godly leadership, to love people. And the fourth one, super, super powerful.
Mm-hmm. I like this one.
Is to have the mindset of a steward, not an owner. You know, these sheep, these people, and this applies to not just church and pastors, but to other areas of life as well. Like I'm stewarding this.
Yes.
I don't own this. Even my most important relationship with you, marriage, I don't own you.
Right.
Like, you belong to God. God's the one that brought you to me. But I have to, it's really important. You know, it's a very sacred thing to be a husband, to be a wife, to be married. But you don't own each other. Mm-hmm. You're one together, but ultimately you belong to God.
Yeah.
And if I like felt I owned you now, like that actually would not be a very healthy type of mindset.
No, it wouldn't.
And even with your own children, you know, to the parents out there, you can't think, you know, I own my kids.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I've learned this from my parents. You know, I've witnessed them do many baby dedications over the years, but whenever they dedicate babies, they always communicate their heart, which is that God brought us our three sons.
Yeah.
And we are to lead, like, they belong to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're dedicating them to God. They belong to God. And we have this sacred responsibility to raise them, you know, in the ways of the Lord, raise them spiritually, raise them emotionally, take care of their physical needs, you know.
Yeah. And if you look at it that way, you're going to treat them good. You're going to treat people good.
And the neat thing, I had that mindset.
I mean, if you care about what God thinks.
Yeah, like. and you know, they had, you know, the three of it, we're all 2 years apart. I'm 39. My brother Andrew's 37. Peter's 35.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had that mindset, we've all gone, you know, very different directions in terms of our careers.
Yeah.
You know, I went to school for music, have a doctorate in classical music, did very well in that. Now in ministry and also, you know, entrepreneurship. So that's kind of been my track. Andrew went to school for chemical engineering. He oversees 500 employees for a big natural gas company. Peter went to school for finance, you know, president of Popeyes. We've all, you know, gone different directions career-wise because my parents... That was their heart, was we're going to lead them really in the way that God is pointing them.
Yeah, your mom says that your
them.
Children are arrows and it's your job to point them in whichever way so they can hit the target.
Yeah, and
for their own life.
When I met you, you know, you had been married 7 years. Your husband passed away. You moved here a year later on your own with Fisher, who was just four.
Yeah.
Dated a year, got married. And even though Fisher isn't my biological son,
We did not date a year.
We start, our first date was
September and we 1st. Got engaged in December.
And married in July.
Yeah. So, sorry, just had to
throw
that out there.
3/4 of a year. to be
correct.
Sorry, I rounded up.
It's all right. You're forgiven.
So, stewardship, not ownership.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Fisher, I just knew I was his father.
Uh-huh.
And it's my job to steward him in the right direction.
Yeah.
And after being married, you know, we had Ada, we're all family. There's not like one who's more and one who's lesser. And
well, because you have that mentality, you could treat somebody's son, who's not your biological son, mm-hmm. but very much your son, as your own son. Mm-hmm. You know, if you didn't have that mentality and that outlook from the Word of God, you're gonna treat him different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I'm actually in the process right now of legally adopting Fisher.
Yeah.
So in the state of Colorado, and it's probably similar in other states, but in the state of Colorado, if a child is 12, that child actually has to sign off on the adoption themselves. Mm-hmm. So Fisher actually wanted to wait till his 12th birthday, and he like signed that document where he
himself,
had to sign
yeah.
on his 12th birthday. And I, you know, submitted that paperwork and everything else to the court on his 12th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very powerful thing. And he'll actually get a new birth certificate.
Yeah.
And I'll be listed as his father on the birth certificate. And the reason why they do that, because he has a right to inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his document to prove if something were to happen to me, like, that stuff's mine. I'm his son.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're, it's so powerful because spiritually we're adopted into God's family.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus has made it possible for us to be adopted as sons and daughters. And when you're adopted, you're actually given a new birth certificate spiritually.
And an inheritance.
A new identity.
Mm-hmm.
You're given an inheritance. It's your right.
Mm-hmm.
Super, super powerful.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty much everything I have. I see you know, we have a few people commenting here.
Yeah, that's awesome. I don't see any prayer requests at the moment, but do you want to pray?
Yeah, I'll pray and close out here. But I want to say thanks, everyone, for joining us. Last week, Pastor Heather and Pastor Lawson did the first live podcast. This is our first one together as a couple. We have quite a few podcasts that we pre-record and
we do these on Mondays. There are some holidays that fall on Mondays, so we obviously won't be doing live streams on those days, but we have pre-recorded episodes that will air, mm-hmm. and they're placed probably earlier in the morning. I'm not exactly sure, but be on the lookout for those. But we are looking forward to doing this once a week. I think
and especially
awesome.
Everyone who connects with us
remotely,
yeah. Like, definitely join on these podcasts and get on Facebook or on YouTube.
Yeah,
and type questions. Mm-hmm. Let us know how you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have any questions, if you need ministered to in a certain area,
yeah, we would love
to do it.
Yeah, we would love to do that. We're gonna start collecting questions on Instagram, on Facebook. You can ask questions in this comment section, whether you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, and we will answer them the next time, you know, if we didn't get to them today. So, yeah, this is going to be great.
Awesome.
That was a good message, Aaron.
Yeah, and I like one of the last comments is that we need to keep people to God for all their needs. And that's really
true.
Yeah,
we
do. God is the one that has to be people's source for happiness, for joy, for financial increase, ultimately.
Yeah,
like,
especially as a pastor, you better be pointing people to God, because you're going to get wore out.
These kind of codependency type of
people,
relationships.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot even in church situations. You want to help people too, and especially like if there's immediate and like needs, help people. But like ultimately, like you need to point people to Jesus as their source.
Amen.
And
because he wants to be their source.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really true. And you don't want to be like someone's crutch.
No.
You want people to be one with Jesus and Jesus to be their ultimate source. So I think that's a really great comment.
Yeah. It is a great comment. And if you feel led to give into this ministry, we always welcome you to sow your seed, because we know that it comes back pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And Aaron and I both know this from personal experience. We know it because the word says, and we have lived it.
Yeah.
So if you don't give you know, I encourage you to give. You don't necessarily have to give here, but you should give, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, be a giver.
Be a giver. Yeah, good leaders are givers.
Mm-hmm. Very true, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, do you want to pray?
Yeah, I'll pray. And okay. I want to let people know, too, who are watching this later on, leave comments if there's certain subjects that mm-hmm. you want us to go into,
yeah.
to talk about, to teach. We'd be happy to do that. We really want to help people. That's why we do what we do.
Yeah, so. We want feedback.
Yeah, so awesome. Well, God, I just thank you so much for this time that we've had. Just everyone who's watched online here, we just thank you that just Jesus, you are full of truth. You're mm-hmm. full of grace. And we just thank you that you are all sufficient. You yes. are everything that we need. So I just think that whatever needs people might have right now, Jesus, I just thank you that you are the answer. You are greater than any problem people might be facing right now. So mm-hmm. I just thank you that in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of uncertainty, in just the midst of hardship, Lord, I just thank you that people can look to you and that you are there. You are ever present in the time of need. So we just thank you that you meet all of our needs. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you all again very soon.